you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37? This chapter, of course, covers a story that I'm sure many of us have heard several times before. As Ezekiel's a prophet during the captivity of the nation of Israel, as he's prophesying and as God looks on his people and he sees all that they have done that to lead up to their captivity, all that they've done to lead up to being led away from their homeland, he looks again at them, and even as they're suffering, even as they're away from home, he offers them hope for coming back together. Chapter 37, we find Ezekiel being carried by the Lord through the Spirit to a valley. Let's read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 37. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." This has always been a really interesting passage to me. In particular, the question that God begins by asking Ezekiel there when he first brings him to this valley as he's overlooking everything that God's showing him. It just always struck a chord for me. When he is there going through these piles of bones, I just imagine an entire valley full of bones that are dry and, you know, bleached white with the sun, and there's obviously no life there at all. And as he's walking in this very dark place that just, you know, doesn't evoke very happy feelings. You think about all the death that took place for these bones to be there. God asks him, Son of man, can these bones live? And there is so much in that statement to me. As we look at this, this is a prophecy, a vision, if you will, that God gave to Ezekiel. It's a picture to me of our lives as Christians, as I look at it. As Ezekiel is ministering to the nation of Israel, as this is directed to them as a nation, being brought out of captivity, what they are saying themselves is they're off in captivity. We're dead. We're just dry bones. The hope is gone. There's nothing left for us. We're a dead people. We're wiped off the face of the earth. And as God prophesies this to them, that no, you're not, and even if you were, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you out of it because I told you I would. You think about everything that goes into that, but in a sense, as you look at this, you can also see an allegory for our life as Christians. You think about Ezekiel walking through this valley, a valley that has untold amounts of bones just laying in it. No telling how many have been, covered up, and they can't see those. They're just there right under the surface of the ground as he's walking through this place. And he's looking at this. And God says to prophesy that life is going to come to these bones. God asks him, can life come to these bones? Ezekiel doesn't want to say no, Lord. Because in a human sense of things, it can't. They're dead. They're dried bones. They've been there for a while. This isn't something recently happened. And as they lay there and they're lifeless, he looks on it, and from a human standpoint, he has to say no. But he knows that he's speaking to God, and he knows that God can do what he feels is impossible. As he looks at this and he sees their state, he just has to answer, only you can answer that, God. And he kind of doesn't want to answer that, but as that goes on, think about, can such a place as he's in ever have life in it again? Well, how about this? Can such a man as that ever have life again? This brings to mind, as I think about the picture of what we have here, it brings to mind what Paul writes over in Ephesians chapter 2, when he's trying to get his message across to the Ephesians, the idea of unity together, coming together as one, when he talks about the fact that all of you, every single one of you, myself included, was at one time dead in our trespasses of sin. Dead, lifeless. No breath in us at all, nothing there but dry bones. And yet God in his love sent forth his Son Christ to raise us up with him, to give us life in him, to put flesh back on those bones. Spiritually speaking, outside of Christ, we're dead. We're the dry bones that are just laying there, unable to affect change on ourselves, unable to do anything but just be dry bones. Can life come to these bones again? The answer is yes in Jesus Christ. The answer is yes with God. Only God can answer that question. As we look at what happens, as we sit there, I can just imagine it's probably not a pretty thing to watch if it happens right there in front of you, but as Ezekiel prophesies and sinews start growing on bones, and as they're flying to come together, and then flesh starts coming up and blood, and finally the skin comes over the bodies, it's probably not a pretty sight to watch in that sense of it. But as you think about the life that's being given to these bones that were there and dead and no hope of life, as the Israelites would say, cut off and hopeless at all, to watch that happen and to see that take place, I often wonder why he has to do it twice. As the flesh and muscle and sinew and skin and all of it goes into a body, comes onto those bones, perhaps this is just me, I see in that a message to us. The fact that life is a lot more than just flesh and bone. Life's a lot more than just having blood and sinew and ligament and cartilage and bone and all that. Life is much more than that. Because these bodies came together, and all that was involved in our physical forms came together, and yet there was no life in them at all. No breath was in them. There's no spirit inside the body without God. We may not be dry bones littering the floor of a valley, but without him, we face the same future that they did. Without him, we're still in that state where Paul talked about in Ephesians 2, the fact that we're dead in our trespasses. And without Christ, we have no ability to rise up. We have no ability to be filled with the life that he offers us. And we face the same future that those dry bones did. And as God breathes breath into them, gives them life, and reinvigorates those slain bodies, hope is given to a people. As he prophesies to the nation of Israel, you're going around, you're saying to everyone you meet, We're cut off. We're dry bones. We're hopeless. We have nothing to look forward to as a people. We're as good as dead. The fact that even in that state, God could take them and give them life. It's interesting to see that whether or not it was true, the Israelites believed it was true, and that was all it needed for it to be true. They bought wholeheartedly into the idea that they were dead, that they were cut off, that they were in their graves, and so God says, you know what? If you are in your graves, I'm going to open them up. I'm going to give you life out of your grave. I'm going to take your bones, I'm going to pull them out, and I'm going to put flesh and blood back on them, and I'm going to give you life because I've promised you something, and I'm going to fulfill it. There's a lot of doubt in the nation of Israel at this time. Honestly, could you blame them? They've been carried off into captivity. They haven't worshipped God in a really long time. Everything they face as they're beat down and they're used as slaves and they're abused and beaten and mocked and treated like second-class or third-class citizens. And it appears there's no change in sight. As they face that, they've come to doubt God and His power and what He can do. You know, doubt always exists for us, even as Christians, until we learn for ourselves what He can do for us. Doubt's always going to be there. The existence of doubt doesn't always signal a lack of faith on our part. What it does signal is a need to depend on Him to fulfill His promises to us, as He already has in many cases. We learn to trust Him as we give ourselves over to Him, and He fulfills what we would consider the small promises. And as we endure that every day, as we face that every day, and He reaches out and He helps us each and every day, it helps to build our faith, our trust, our dependence on Him for the bigger things, such as the promises He gives us for life, the promises He gives us for eternal life, the real life that comes in our body. Because I can have flesh and blood, I can walk around, I can breathe, I can eat, I can do all these things, but without Him, there is not life in my body as I face an existence that's going to return me back to that valley floor, just like those bones were. And yet, I can trust in Him. He can bring life where there was only death before. As we trust in Him, as we try to be who He wants us to be, we need to ask that question of ourselves. Are our bones alive? Can life come to these dry bones? Do they live? Do we have Him as our Savior? Do we trust in Him to give us life? Do we trust in Him in every aspect of our life? Everything we do, everything we are, comes from Him. As we try to face the world, when we face it on our own, we're not going to accomplish anything. For a time, we may have our moment in the sun, if you will, and then it's faded and it's gone. Forgotten, just like those bones sitting in the valley floor. But as we trust in Him, as we depend on Him, even though we may be cut off, even though our bones may be dried up, even though our life may feel like it's dried up, we can receive that breath of God, that touch from God, promise of God, a blessing, of hope in Him and in His Son that can lead us to serve Him more. Our faith can continue to grow as we trust that He's going to take care of us no matter what happens to us. We can trust in Him because of the promises He makes to us. Can these bones live? Only God can answer that.